Behold, the Lamb of God. Give us eyes to behold you, Lord. Give us eyes to see you through your word, because you are the word made flesh. Let's look at John chapter 1, verse 29. The Lamb of God. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water, and John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testify that this is the Son of God. And then again the next day, John stood with his two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed him. So the herald here, the herald is John the Baptist, and he's testifying, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold, I have seen and testified, this is the Son of God. And two of John the Baptist's disciples went and followed him. All right. This is how we're going to say or open up, because how did the Old Testament end? What were the last verses in Malachi? And then it was closed. This is the end of the Old Testament. There was 400 years of nothing. There was no revelation from any prophets. Malachi 4, let's remind ourselves, Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all of Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. So Jesus came and he was ministering to those in Israel, the descendants of Jacob, Israel. And he was turning, his job was turned to Shuva, to make repentance, to the teachings, the instructions of the fathers, the law of Moses and the spirit of Elijah. Let's look at another incident, but this is in Matthew 17, 1 through 13. And after 6 days, Jesus takes Peter, James, John, his brother, and brings them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, pay attention. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Okay, the old covenant, the law and the spirit, the word and the spirit. Then answered Peter and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you will, let us make here three tabernacles, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. While he yet spoke, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear you him. Okay, so not only look at him, behold him, but listen to him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were sore afraid. In other words, you have some presumption here, but God is good. The Father's gentle. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man, save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man, until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elijah must come first? And Jesus answered and said to them, Elijah truly shall come first and restore all things. Restore all things. Key verse. But I say to you that Elijah is come already, and they knew him not, but have done to him whatsoever they listed. Likewise also shall the Son of Man suffer of him, them. And he shall be suffered of them. Okay? The who? The scribes. The scribes. Then the disciples understood that he spoke to them of John the Baptist, because John the Baptist was going to be executed for denouncing Herodias, Herod's wife, for being unlawfully wed to her brother. Her husband's brother. All right, let's just look at this restoration. Jesus brought a restoration in. Elijah spoke of the restoration. And what is that? His first advent. And in his second, which is preparatory and in process now, preparing the way for the return of the Lord, preparing the way for the truth, Jesus, Yeshua, as a Jew, all the feasts, Acts 3, 19. Let's look up a little bit further. Let's look at 17. And now, brothers, I know that through ignorance you did it, as also you did your, as did also your rulers. In other words, they murdered Jesus. That's what he's referring to here. But those things which God before had shown by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Okay, this is a process. Repentance, then your sins are blotted out, then the Lord comes. Then the Lord comes. Okay, who? And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached to you. Okay, the Spirit will, this time of refreshing, will point to Jesus. It always points to Jesus. Doesn't point to signs and wonders. Doesn't point to a whole lot of other stuff. It points to Jesus. Holy Spirit, the Spirit of prophecy is the Spirit of Jesus. The Holy Spirit always testifies to Jesus, whom the heavens must receive in until the times of restitution or restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up to you of your brothers like to me, like Moses. Okay, and Jesus said that in John. He said, Moses wrote about me, and if you believe Moses, you will believe me. And he shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say to you. You shall hear, behold, look, listen. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. You are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed shall all kindreds of the earth be blessed. Okay, Malachi, right? Turn the hearts of the children to the father and the hearts of the father to the children. To you first God, having raised his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. I want to read the account from Mark 9 in the Complete Jewish Bible of this incident. 6 days later, Yeshua, 9-2, took Kepha, Yaakov, and Yohanan and led him up a high mountain privately. And as he watched, he began to change form, and his clothes became dazzlingly white, whiter than anyone in the world could possibly bleach them. Then they said, Eliyahu and Moshe speaking with Yeshua. And Kephas said to Yeshua, it's good that we're here, Rabbi. Let's put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moshe, and one for Eliyahu. He didn't know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud enveloped them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my son, whom I love. Listen to him. And suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Yeshua. And as they came down the mountain, he warned them not to tell anyone what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, but they continued asking each other, what is this rising from the dead? Then they also asked him, why did the Torah teachers say that Eliyahu has to come first? Eliyahu will indeed come first, he answered, and he will restore everything. Nevertheless, why is it written in the Tanakh that the Son of Man must suffer much and be rejected? There's more to it. I tell you that Eliyahu has come. And they did whatever they pleased to him, just as the Tanakh says about him. Now, let's go back to Matthew 17 and the recounting of Jesus transfigured, where we left off. And I just want to talk about why Jesus took us up to the mountain and they saw the glory of God. And then they came down and said, oh, they're going to kill me. And they've done to John the Baptist what they were going to do, the scribes and the religious leaders. At verse 13, then the disciples understood that he spoke to them of John the Baptist. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. And then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and he came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. And then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast him out? And so Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Now Jesus wasn't talking about he was talking about a physical mountain. He was talking about a mountain of the powers of darkness. He just went up to the mountain. And he declared that he was the Son of God and he was going to save men from their sins. And if they repent and believed, as I wrote in Acts, then the refreshing come. And if they repent and believe, but Jesus said, because of your unbelief. For surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, what is this faith as a mustard seed? We've heard so many teachings. In other words, if you just believe that Jesus is God, you will say to this mountain, these power of darkness, these high places of demonic possession and in human beings, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, okay, this is a contingency clause. This kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. This is how we have authority. Our own flesh has been crucified through prayer and fasting. Prayer is about conforming us to be transfigured into Jesus, our character. Prayer is not about twisting God's arm. It's about conforming us to the will of God. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not my, you know, carnal, fleshy needs, you know, give me what I want less. Okay? Well, I'd just like to declare from the book of Revelation, which is the revealing, the unveiling of Jesus Christ. So let's look behind the veil into the heavenly realm here, and see in Revelation 5, I'm going to start at the new song. Oh, I don't know where to start. There's so much. Oh, praise God. And it's about the throne room and a scroll, and the scroll is written, and no one under heaven or on earth was worthy to open the scroll or look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent into all the earth. And then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." And then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the numbers of them were 10,000s times 10,000s and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, "Blessings and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever." And then the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever. Let's go to Revelation 15. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having seven last plagues. For them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw it as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire. And them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God, and they sing the song of Moshe, Moses the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, you King of saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you only are holy, for all the nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments are made manifest." And after that, I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony. Heaven testified, "This is my son." And heaven was open. Heaven's testifying, Jesus is coming. Behold the Lamb. Behold the eternal covenant. Oh, Boresa, bless you. Anyway, let's go on to another scripture. Heavenly, heavenly, heavenly. This is Revelation 21, 23. Let's start at 22. "I saw no temple in the city, the New Jerusalem, for Adonai, God of heaven's army, Adonai Sabaoth, the God of the armies of heaven, is its temple, as is the Lamb. This city has no need for the sun or the moon to shine on it, because God's Shekinah gives its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. And the nations will walk by the light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. Its gates will never close. They stay open all day, because night shall not exist there. And the honor and splendor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure may enter it, nor anyone who does shameful things or lies. The only ones who may enter are those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." Revelation 22, 1. "Next the angel showed me the river of the water of life, the sparkling like crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And between the main street and the river was the tree of life, producing 12 kinds of fruit, a different kind every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing the nations. No longer will there be any curses. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will worship him, for they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And night will no longer exist, so they will need neither the light of a lamp nor the light of the sun, because Adonai God will shine upon them, and they will reign as kings forever and ever." And I'm going to conclude with this, continuing. Then he said to me, these are the words are true and trustworthy. Adonai God of the spirit of the prophet sent his angel to show his servants the things that must happen soon. Look, I'm coming very soon. Behold, look, blessed is the person who obeys the words of the prophecy written in this book. Look. Then I, Yohanan, the one hearing, seeing these things, when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel, showing them to me. He said, don't do that. I am only a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and the people who obey the words in this book. Worship God. Keep the commandments of God. Thou shalt have no other gods, no other idols, no other person, no other servant. No one. No, not even angels. Worship God. Worship God. Worship God.